2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 19. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took him bow and arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, Put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it, and then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite the ground. And he smote thrice, and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou should have smitten five or six times. Then thou hast smitten the Syria, till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. This is a great story in many ways. You have to understand, Elisha has not been heard of in the Holy Scriptures for 43 years. Last time we heard about him was a long time ago. Now all this time he's not been idle. He's been going around healing sick people and prophesying and getting the job done. But here is a man of God that's seldom been equaled anywhere with God in the whole time. But he fell sick and he died. That tells us something about all of us, doesn't it? None of us are too good to get sick and die. It's going to happen to all of us. But when King Joash saw that Elisha had come down to die, he went to see him. That's a commendable thing for him to do. And when he got there, he wept because he knew when the prophet Elisha died, their country was going to be in a bad fix. They needed a man of God that had contact with God. Would to God our leaders today were seeking men of God who could get a hold of God and get something done. Joash came to the man of God. Now, I have to tell you, Joash hadn't been the very best king that ever was. And he hadn't served God just like he should have. But to his credit, he realized who the man of God was and who God was. And he came to him and stood over him and cried and said a wonderful thing. He used the very same words over Elisha that Elisha had used over Elijah when the chariot and the horsemen caught him up and took him to heaven. Or wherever the Lord took him. Now, he came there knowing that this would be his last meeting and knowing that they needed to hear from God. I have to tell you something about Elisha. He had never retired. Here he is on his deathbed. He gets himself up out of his deathbed to give a prophetic message to his nation and to his king. Hey, that's wonderful. How many of you know who Tommy Bates is? Well, he sings a song, When I Die, Let Me Die Speaking in Tongues, Let Me Die Praising the Lord, and a whole bunch of things he says. Let me be praising the Lord. Amen. Let me be praising God till the day that I draw the last breath in this mortal temple. Let me use my last breaths to give glory and honor to God and to praise Him. I'll never forget, when Poppy Mills died, Andy over in the holler, and the breath just went out of him. The Holy Spirit fell. Noni and all of them, and it was there. They shouted all around the bed and glorified God. I remember being up on Little Stony Creek when Everett McGuire died, and he had got saved. And I went in, and he was dying, and the Church of God preacher was there, and his daughter was there, a woman of God, and we. Just as he died, the Spirit hit every one of us. Every one of us in the room. The Holy Ghost came down and we rejoiced in God. Let it be that way. Let me spend every breath I have to glorify Him until the day that He calls me home. And don't waste the last day. Let me have the last day glorifying the presence of the living God. And Elisha doesn't waste his last breath talking about things. He uses his last breath to talk about God. And he gets up out of his deathbed and said, open the window eastward, and has Joash draw the bow. And when he does, he places his hands on his hands. And when he lets the arrow go, flies eastward. That's where the Syrian army is that's troubling Israel. And he flies an arrow and says, as this arrow is going, so the anointing of God is going, and do the work. And then he says, the rest of the arrows that the king has in his hand, he said, smite the ground. And he half-heartedly hits it 3 times. He said, you ought to have smote it 5 or 6 times. You ought to have done it a lot of times. Why? Because if you had, you would have consumed the Syrian army. But because you're only half-hearted, because you've not committed yourself totally to the work, you're only going to smite him 3 times. King Joash could have come out with the victory over the Syrian army entirely and absolutely. But because he only put forth a half-hearted effort, he was doomed to suffer fighting them the rest of his life. My question is tonight, how many blessings have we forfeited because of our half-hearted efforts? We know what it is to forfeit, don't we? We all understand when somebody forfeits a football game, they probably haven't shown up. Or if they have shown up, they've shown up and not operated according to the rules. Something has happened to derail their efforts. They have forfeited the game. We see it in the paper all the time, don't we? Forfeited the game. I look down the statistics of the ball game sometimes, and there it says, forfeited. You know what I know? Somebody didn't play the game. Somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do. So often, we forfeit the blessings that God has for us. Now, it's not that the blessings aren't there. It's not that God couldn't come up with the blessings. It's not that the blessings weren't available. It's that we forfeited getting the blessings because we didn't do what we needed to do it. There's been many a service lockjawed because somebody didn't obey God. Somebody didn't do what God wanted them to do. And I wonder how often we have forfeited the blessings that God has given us. I used to hear old preachers in this church say, we're living beneath our privilege. God has set things in motion for us and made things available to us, but we don't live up to it. We don't get up to what God has for us. God has blessings for His people. And those blessings, they're there. All you have to do is reach out and get them. You remember that old song we used to sing? Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. She pressed her way through the crowd. She didn't pay attention to the fact that she was unclean. She didn't pay attention to the fact that somebody might think hard of her. She's only one thought in her whole mind. If I can only get through there and touch the hem of His garment. If I can only just reach Him. If I can only get there. And with everything that was in her, she pressed through the crowd. She had this issue of blood 12 years. Can you imagine having a non-stopping period for 12 years? That meant she had not been able to go to synagogue or to temple because she was ceremonially unclean. That meant that she could not have normal relationships with her family because she was unclean and they viewed it that way in that day and time. This woman was weak and down to nothing, but she heard that Jesus was coming by. And when she heard He was coming by, she pressed. My friend, we used to use that term when we came to church. Press in the service. We used to use that term, press into your salvation and into the Lord. Nowadays, we're casual Christians. We dress casual, we look casual, we act casual, and when it comes to God, whatever. When it comes to praying, whatever. When it comes to fasting, whatever. When it comes to seeking the face of God, well, whatever. You see, my friend, I can remember the time that none of you would have come to this church tonight until you had a Holy Ghost prayer before you came. I hope some of you still do that. We used to pray that we would be ready to work in the service, to press in the service, to get the job done when we came to church. Sister Geneva, I thank you so much for telling me about that story about Sally Marsh coming down the road, speaking in tongues and praising God. I can see her going around the pole in that church down, the old church down there now. And when she'd get happy, she'd turn her head to the side and walk right proud. And she's walking down the road, praising God and glorifying God on her way. You say, in the middle of the road? In the middle of the road, Sister Sally's a-walking and a-praising God. Sister Geneva said, what in the world's wrong with that woman? And Roy said, she's speaking in tongues. She done prayed through. It's second Sunday. She's on her way to church. She didn't come to church to get the victory. She came to church with victory. She came to church with the glory of God. My friend, too many of us want to have spectator religion. We want to come to church and we want to watch what's going on. We want to see what other people's doing. My friend, if you're going to get a blessing from God, you're going to have to jump out into the water. You're going to have to get out of the boat and walk on the water. You're going to have to let go of the moorings and let go of your emotions, my friend, and let go of your inhibitions and give yourself the joy of serving God. And you say, well, if it's God's will, let me tell you something. You may not know it, but God's will is not always done. You say, oh, well, God's will is always done. No, it's not. That's why he taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the Bible said God has given us the salvation. That is the plan, and it is complete. Now, there's nothing wrong with the plan. There's nothing wrong with the price of salvation. The Lord Jesus died, rose again, and has ascended to heaven. My friend, he paid the price for the sin. Salvation is intact. Anybody that will avail themselves of it can be saved. He died for the sins of what? The whole world. Now, there are people who believe he only died for the sins of the elect. But my Bible says he died for the sins of the whole world. And whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. And what does he say? It's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Are all coming to repentance? Don't I wish? Don't you wish? Don't God wish? You see, men don't come to God and they forfeit the blessing of salvation. Why do they do it? Because men's deeds are evil, Jesus said, and they love darkness rather than light. In fact, as the Old Testament scripture prophet cries out and says, your sins have separated you from your God. Salvation is there. My friend, Hitler could have been saved. Muammar Gaddafi could have been saved. Mussolini could have been saved. Dillinger could have been saved. My friend, any human being that would hear the name of Jesus and call on our God could be saved. But they're not. Why? We forfeit our salvation. Now, it's sad that people in China die and are lost that have never heard the name of Jesus. It's sad that people in Africa die and are lost because they never heard the name of Jesus. I want to tell you something. It's a tragedy that people die in America with churches on every corner, Bibles in every motel room, steeples in every community, crosses raised in every area of the country, daylight to dark and dark to daylight, broadcasting of the gospel of Jesus Christ on television and on radio, on the internet, in the printed page. Man, we are living in high cotton as far as salvation is concerned. And people in Giles County, with churches in every holler, are dying and going to hell without God. Why? They're forfeiting the blessing. The blessing is there. Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ ascended. Christ is making intercession. He is coming back again. He sent the Holy Spirit into the world like He said He would. He preserved His Word that it could testify to us. My brothers and sisters, there's no reason for anybody in America to be lost and go to hell. There may be an excuse in a country that don't have churches or a heathen country that worships a false god. But in America, my friend, we have the opportunity to serve our God with freedom and with luxury. We can have Bibles, we can read, we have heated and air-conditioned cars to go to church. You have padded things to sit on. When you're at church, you have heated and air-conditioned churches. Wonderful. I praise God for all of it. And yet, for all that we've done building this church here, and Brother Hufford's right out the hill here, people will die in Clendon and Holler and bust hell wide open. You know why? They're forfeiting the blessing. It's there for them. It's there for them. Do you realize from Riverview Baptist Church on top of the hill in Pembroke to Mount Lebanon Methodist Church on the other end of town, there are 15 gospel preaching churches in that little valley called Pembroke? Do you realize that? Man, if anybody in Pembroke dies and goes to hell, they're going to have to answer to God in the day of judgment for not listening. It's close enough for somebody to walk to somebody's church and get saved. You say, well, they don't have all the truth. Man, if you got enough truth to know to repent and get right with God, hallelujah, praise God, let the church roll on. We don't have to know all the answers. We don't have to know all the intricate inside stories of all the theology and the doctrine and say all the right words right and all those kind of things. My friend, sometimes ignorant little street preacher can't hardly read his name, can stand up on the street corner in the Holy Ghost and with a sincere heart preach the Word of God, and men and women get saved because God saves them and it reaches to them. My friends, I can tell you we forfeit the blessing of salvation so much. And you know what else we forfeit? The blessing of abundant living. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We should have an abundant life. Now, I'm not talking about that everybody ought to be driving BMWs. I'm not talking about that everybody ought to have steak every night. I'm not talking about that everybody ought to have the best clothes from the best stores every day. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about the abundant life. My friend, I've seen people with abundant life that lived in 2 or 3 room houses. My goodness, right here in front of this church on this hill, in this little woods here, me and Fern lived in a 2-room cabin and we had abundant life. Of course, we were young. It's hard to believe, but we were once. We were young. We were happy as coons in corn. We lived in that little 2-room house and had an outhouse. We had a little extra room out there. We had a path up the hill and steps up to the house. We had running water. We could run out and get a bucket and run back with it. And we were happy with it. We were happy with each other. Happy with our life together. Had our first baby in them 2 rooms. And people say, you can't live like that. Let me tell you something, folks. Every day we lived in that cabin, every night we went out and preached in tents and preached in churches and had church and people got saved. We came back and went home to bed satisfied and at peace with God, got up the next morning and ate whatever we had to eat and went on with our way. Praise God. People were good to us. I tried to raise a garden, but it was a little late in the year and kind of a hot year and things didn't grow good. But people brought us stuff to eat. I looked out one day down at the gate and Rebecca Lilly, Sutphen's wife, was coming through the gate, and she had a basket in her hands. And I said, Fern, she was young and at home back then. I said, Fern, what's that Lily girl doing down here at our house in the middle of the day? And she said, oh, Brother and Sister Lily are digging their potatoes, and they've given the first fruits to the ministry. And the first potatoes they had dug, they dug two baskets and sent one to Sister Effie and one to Brother Eddie and Sister Fern. That's sweet, isn't it? Isn't that sweet? They gave God what was His first. Let me tell you something, folks. That was abundant living. We were happy. We were, the night our baby was born, we was just as happy as we could be. It was a snow on about that deep. Car was over the hill in the ditch. I made biscuits. They so hard I could throw them. It threw them and it bounced off the wall. Fern made a good pot of soup that night, though. We giggled and laughed and cuddled and held each other in our arms in that old sway back bed up there in the cabin. And we're just as happy as we could be. And about 3 o'clock, she said, "Honey, it's time." And boy, did it get on then. And we came back with three of us and went out with two of us. But we had abundant living. You say, well, how was it abundant? You see, Jesus had just said before He talked about giving us abundant life, He said, "I am the door of the sheepfold. And if any man will enter in by Me, he shall be saved." My friend, when I was 14 years old, I had entered into the door. We knew Jesus was our Savior. If He had come while we was up there in the cabin, we'd been just as saved as we are in a house. We went from no bathrooms to five bathrooms. And we was just as abundant living in that two-room cabin with an outhouse and a spigot to get water out of as we are today. We're not in any more abundant living today than we were then. You see, the abundant living comes from that well of water that's down in your soul that's bubbling up and bubbles over into life. You see, my friend, we need to, He said, "I would above all things that you prosper and be in health." He wants us to do well. He wants us to live well. He wants us to have things. But my friend, we forfeit the abundant life because we're not satisfied with what we have. Let me tell you something. If you'd be more satisfied with what you got, you'd find out you had a lot more. If you'd be thankful for what you have, you'd be a whole lot better off than griping about what little bit you got and griping about what it is, and "I don't like this to eat and I don't like that to eat." I can tell you, we were happy when somebody caught a trout and gave it to us. We were happy when somebody caught a catfish and gave it to us. We were happy when somebody killed a squirrel and gave it to us. We were happy when they caught a rabbit in a box trap and gave it to us. We were happier even yet when they cut the hind flank off of a deer and gave it to us. We were happy with what we had. We were happy with sausage and fried taters for supper. We were happy with gravy for breakfast. Didn't have nothing to do with anything. What it had to do with, inside of our hearts, we knew the peace of Jesus. We were preaching the gospel to poor people. We didn't get an offering. I mean, that whole summer, I didn't work. I was laid off. We didn't get an offering the whole summer. We never got an offer. We just preached and sang and prayed with people and visited the sick and all that kind of thing. And we just enjoyed life. My friend, it don't have to be things. It has to be the idea that you have life within you. The abundant life that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. How often we forfeit the abundant life because we're so busy about things. So busy about situations and positions and who did what to whom. And who I can kiss up to and who I can know. My friend, none of that's going to bring you the abundant life. It's only going to come when you enter in the door to the sheepfold and are saved. I have to tell you, there's very little bit of peace in the world. I despair some days. I have to tell you I do. I despair at the little bit of peace that's in the world. People having struggles. You say it's horrible and nations fighting each other. It is, but that's not the breaking of the peace that breaks my heart. It's to see families tore all to pieces. It's to see people that are neighbors and are friends. What's even worse is to see church people that can't get along with each other. There's very little peace in the world. Yet Jesus said what? "Peace I give with you. My peace I give unto you. Not the peace that the world gives, give I unto thee. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." My brothers and sisters, the peace of God, what a wonderful thing it is. What a marvelous thing it is to have the peace of God. But the peace of God, He says, "Not as the world give I unto thee." You know what? We say we have peace. You know why we have peace? Because somebody's got an army with a gazillion warheads standing over here and it's a standoff. It's not peace. The peace that we have, my friend, the peace that you have in your heart comes from in here. Comes from in here. You see, we have to have the peace, but it comes from Jesus. It don't come from anyone else. It don't come from having anything or doing anything. It comes from Jesus, the peace that we have. And then I wonder sometimes that we don't grow spiritually. And let me read you a little scripture here in 1 Corinthians. I love to read in Corinthians. Do you know why I like to read in Corinthians? Because it's where we live. Corinthian church having such a hard time. Now you have to understand, this is a spiritual church. Paul told them they came behind in no spiritual gift. Boy, wouldn't you like to be in that church? A church that had all the spiritual gift. They came behind in no spiritual gift. And yet, we forfeit our spiritual growth. We don't grow in the Spirit. We don't grow in the Lord. Why don't we grow in the Lord? Listen to this. My brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. Now, you would think surely the church at Corinth would be able to accept the strong meat of the Word of God. Why couldn't they do it? For ye are carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as God gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So then, he that planted is not anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, when we look at this, the fact is, Jenny, I look down there and see your Sunday school verse. For we are laborers together with God. You remember when we, David, you remember that. When they called the roll in Sunday school, we had to answer with a Bible scripture. The favorite one was in John, of course. Jesus wept. Didn't take too much to remember that one, did it? Mother taught me one in Psalms, and I always said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And Jenny sat in front of me, and she would say, we are laborers together with God. It's amazing that I can remember that. After all, well, what is it, 5 or 6 years ago we were in there, something like that. I'll go to the altar when this is over. Why can't they grow? Why can't they grow? Because you know what he said? They that are in the flesh cannot, say that word with me, cannot. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. My friend, you say, what does it mean to be carnal? It means to be worldly minded. Means to be mindful of the flesh, mindful of my feelings, mindful of my position, mindful of who I am, mindful of what I do, mindful of all of these things. And my friends, they could not grow at Corinth. You say, how could a church that has all the gifts there come behind and no spiritual gifts? How could that church not grow? Well, it's not numbers we're talking about. It's growing in the Lord. And they couldn't grow in the Lord because they were too busy yarn with each other about whether it was Paul or whether it was Apollos or whether it was Peter or whoever it was that they were talking about. All of that kind of thing has its effect. Now, my friend, I don't want to forfeit my blessings. I don't know about you. I need everything I can get from God. First of all, I need my salvation, and praise God, I have not forfeited my salvation. I have repented of my sins, turned to my Savior, and claimed Jesus first of all. I praise God for that. I pray that I haven't forfeited abundant life. I pray that I haven't got so wrapped up in what's here that I can't live the abundant life that God wants me to. I pray that I will not be at war, but I will have peace in my heart. And I pray that I will not be a fleshly minded Christian, but I will be a spiritual person that can eat the sincere meat of the Word of God. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence. Lord, your presence has been here in this church tonight. Your presence has been here in our midst. We felt joy. We felt power and authority over Satan. We felt goodness coming from brothers and sisters and from the singing of the hymns. And Father, we thank You so much that You've given us an opportunity not to forfeit our blessings, but to make good our place with You. Heavenly Father, I ask You tonight that You'll take the words of this message and speak to our hearts. And Lord, I thank You for all Your precious people who are here tonight. And Lord, that they'll be blessed, that they'll be touched, that they'll be lifted up. Heavenly Father, these favors, these blessings, these thanksgiving we offer to You in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we give praise and honor and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we're going to sing, "Lord, I'm Coming Home." If you're away from God tonight, I'd invite you to come. If you're away from your spiritual home and the place where God wants you to be in life, I would invite you to come to that place that you can be. We'll be glad to pray with you. You could tell when I say this congregation will act as a prayer team. Did you see that while ago? You did good. Praise God. And when I ask you to rebuke the devil, you did good. Barbara run him right out the door. I saw it. And I praise God for that. Amen. Amen. We used to have devil chasings and run the spirits of the enemy away. Hey, we got the power. Let's do it. Amen. Would you stand as we sing, "Lord, I'm Coming Home"?
Father, I pray for my... Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Sometimes Sunday night's better than Sunday morning. It all works out to be the part that God wants us to have when He wants us to have it. Now I want to tell you something. When you go home from here tonight, there's been a good spirit here. Holy Spirit's been here to bless and to rejoice and to touch us. Hey, He can go home with you. He wants to go home with you. He wants to be part of your household and live in your house and live in your soul and in your life. And we praise God that God wants to do that. I'm always impressed with that scripture when Jesus was preaching in Capernaum and Peter was there and He went home with Peter. He went home with Zacchaeus. You see, He wants to go to your house tonight. He don't want to stay locked up this building. Oh, that wouldn't be any profit in that at all. We all go home and Jesus stay here? Oh, no. Gracie, He wants to go to Peterstown with you tonight. He wants to go to Parrisburg or Nares with you, wherever you live, to Pembroke. Amen. I got new neighbors in Pembroke. The Weeses are looking down on me now. That's right. They're on the hill and I'm in the hollow. We're glad to have them in Pembroke with us. God bless you. God's Spirit go with you, give you grace and truth, and let the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to be here to pray. I mean, you can pray at home. You don't have to be here to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in your house. Wave your hands. Shout. Praise God. You can do that. It's wonderful. Let me tell you something. I was walking out what you call Pocahontas Road now. It was an old sawmill road then. And I had been a fasting and a praying. And I was somewhere out there where the branch crosses the road. Went out in the spirit. When I came to myself, I was dancing through the creek. You say, well, what does that hurt? Not a thing. Not a thing, my friend. I praise God for 1 year after I graduated from high school. I spent my time in the mountains praying and fasting and seeking God. And it comes in good today. I thank God for being in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And as Sister Nellie Mooney would have said, every step's been worthwhile. Father, we thank You tonight for the service, for Your sweet blessings and Your marvelous grace. Lord, we pray You'll bless Your people, sanctify them and use them to Your glory. Every day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.